What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Andy Slater Show, another episode here on this Thursday afternoon. It's the fourth day of April. It's almost the weekend. We're not there yet. It's Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday, and then we get the weekend. Wow, I feel like the first 10 seconds there, I was coming in really hot. That news we got about 2-3 hours ago, the news that Yuri Perez is going to have Tommy John surgery, he's going to miss the rest of the season. Kind of felt like that was coming anyway. People were talking about, oh, he's throwing. And they babied him last year, remember? They sent him down, babied him, didn't let him throw a lot of pitches. And in the end, he's having Tommy John surgery. The Marlins start the season 0-7. I haven't even officially started the show yet. I'm only a minute into the hour. And I'm already going off on the Marlins. At least I'm here at Medellin. I flew over here yesterday. Head back on Saturday to Miami in just 2 days from now. A quick 3-night trip. Before the plane took off yesterday, and you saw this if you follow me on IG, I said I got to put in a same-game parlay. I could do it from the plane as long as we're on the ground at MIA anywhere in Florida. I don't know the legality of it if the wheels are up and then you're in the air, even if you're like 400 or 500 feet off the ground. If you're technically still in Florida or not. But I did put the wager in while I was on the ground on the American Airlines plane. And I'm glad I did it because it won.
Show me the money!
And for those of you that follow me on Instagram and you saw my IG story yesterday, like around 10:30 in the morning, you won too. I got so many DMs. Thank you so much, Andy. You're the man. I made money. You guys were sending me your slips. Some of you bet like 10 or 20 bucks or 50 bucks. And that's fine. Whatever in your budget. Whatever you could afford to just throw away. Because when you gamble, you got to figure you're just throwing your money away. If you're gambling and you're like, okay, I need to win this. Otherwise, I can't do this. That means you should not be wagering. So some of you, you're putting 20 bucks, 50 bucks on the game, 5 bucks. And then there's other people who are sending me their screenshots of the bet, and you're putting a lot of money on it. But hey, whatever you can do, whatever makes you happy. I don't have to say any disclaimers, but I'm just being legit. My wager yesterday, it was on 4 players in the Marlins game, 4 players to not strike out twice. I had 3 Angels and Avisiel Garcia on the Marlins. They couldn't strike out twice. One player could not strike out twice. If one of those 4 players I had struck out twice, the bet loses. All 4 players that I had a combined 0 strikeouts. I nailed that wager. Not even one strikeout from one of those 4 players. So now, of course, after that wins, everybody's sending me a message. Oh, I need one later tonight, which was tomorrow. Or I need one for today. What have you got? Don't ask me. Save yourself the time of typing, writing, thinking. It's not like somebody is going to send me a DM and I'm going to write back saying, here you go, here's my play, or you know what, let me make one. No, when I am ready to make a wager, I will post it. Plain and simple. I don't make wagers upon request. Now, I'm in Medellin. I'm here today. I'm here tomorrow, which is Friday. I fly back to Miami on Saturday. I'm scheduled to land late afternoon, early evening. There is the possibility that I may have a play upon landing. There's also a possibility I may have a play on Sunday. I don't know for sure yet, but it's possible Saturday and Sunday you may get one. But here's a reminder, not just for wagering purposes, but for tuning in purposes. Next week, I'm on vacation. A real vacation. Even though I'm going for a poker tournament, it's a vacation. I am going for the first time ever to Spain. I'm headed to Barcelona Sunday, late afternoon. I arrive there on Monday morning, their time, and I will be off all of next week. I come back the following Monday to South Florida. So I'll be off that day too, and probably the next, because I have no idea with the time change and jet lag, and I have no idea how any of that is going to work. Believe it or not, even though over the past 2 or 3 years, I've been on more than 300 flights in a 3-year period. That is true. I have not taken one flight over 5.5 hours. That would only be from Miami to the West Coast. So this will be my longest flight ever. It's about 8 hours going, 7.5 going, and then coming back is a little bit longer, probably more like 8.5 or 9. So I'm not doing a show next week. I'm going to be playing poker in Barcelona. I hope to be eating well in Barcelona. If you have any really good restaurants and you're a foodie, like if you go to the Golden Corral in South Florida, please don't give me a suggestion for Barcelona. But if you are a foodie, you're into really good food, and you know a good spot in Barcelona, like I have to go to, and it's not a tourist trap, please, then send me a DM on Instagram, or you can write to me on Twitter, whatever you want, because that's what I'm going to be interested in over there. Playing cards, eating well, relaxing, and having a good time. But right now I'm here, and I'll be with you here tomorrow too. It is a very interesting time in South Florida sports. Not only is Yuri Perez going to have Tommy John surgery, but the Marlins at this moment are 0-7. Could they have had a more disastrous start? 0-7, you already knew that your ace, your Cy Young winner, was going to be out for the season. And then you announced today that Yuri is going to be out for the season. And you have the worst start in franchise history. So I'll be getting into that. We have some teams, or maybe I should say we have one team that at least is trending upward. That would be the Miami Heat. Can you feel the heat? The Heat are in a prime position right now to make every single game they've played before tonight not matter that much. As long as they get hot. And they could. So we'll see what happens tonight with the Miami Heat and moving forward. The Florida Panthers, I wish I could say something good about them, but they're spiraling. It's just terrible watching their games as of late. They're a mess. The injuries are piling up. The losses are piling up. All of the excitement of Florida Panthers hockey that we felt a few weeks ago, all of that excitement is gone. And then we've also got some NFL news that could affect the Miami Dolphins. You would think it would. The Buffalo Bills trade away their number one wide receiver yesterday. Stephon Diggs goes to the Houston Texans. And a lot of people believe that means the Bills are done. It's the Dolphins' division to win. But with that move, does that mean the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East? It's an interesting question. And it's one that I'll do my best to provide an answer to this hour. So as you could tell, there's a lot on this table right now. Like literally on my table right now, there is a lot. I don't even have an energy drink on my table right now. Maybe I should go grab one and open it up and then do the rest of the hour under the influence of a white monster. All I've got is water next to me. I could take a swig of water, but it's not like taking a swig of Monster Energy. Yeah, it's just water. I like water, but I feel like I'm already fired up from not just good news. Is there good news? Maybe after tonight's Heat game? But we got no good news with the Panthers. We got no good news with the Marlins. Even Inter Miami lost. Where's the good news? Can anybody find some good South Florida sports news? I like discussing good news, positive news. People think, oh, radio's better when the host is mad and people are angry that a team lost. I remember having so much fun in 2023 with the runs that our teams were all on. It was freaking amazing. And now, ay, dreadful. All right, so I do have a lot to get to. I got a lot of notes in front of me, but I can't get to anything until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
I must begin with a subject that I'm not happy with. I'm not happy about anything with this team right now. And that would be the
Miami Marlins.
This homestand that just ended yesterday, it's got to be the worst homestand the Marlins have ever had in franchise history. Think about this. The Marlins became the first team in Major League Baseball history. And you never want to say the first team in Major League Baseball history, unless it's for something good. And it's not here. The Marlins became the first team in MLB history to go to the postseason one year and then follow it up the next season by starting 0-7. That has never happened in the history of the game. And then think about this. Wow, the Marlins started 0-7? Who did they play? Did they play the Dodgers and the Astros or the Dodgers and the Yankees? My gosh, who did they play? They played the Pittsburgh Pirates for four games. Now, the Pirates may be on an upswing, but they're not a powerhouse. And then they played the LA Angels for three. Yes, the Angels have Mike Trout, but the Angels are not a good team. I'd be shocked to see the Angels come out of the AL West this season. You start 0-7. You're at home. These are not road games. They're home games against the Pirates and the Angels. And you lose all of them? How brutal is that? Going 0-7 at home to start your season against teams who are just meh, or worse than that, bad. There's not even one particular thing that I could point to. If it was just a pitching problem, I would love to point to that. If it was just a hitting problem, I would love to point to that. If it was a fielding problem, I would love to point to that. The problem is with absolutely everything. The problem is with the starters. The problem is with the bullpen. The problem is with the lineup. The problem is with fielding. Everything is flawed. Everything. The bench. And think about this. This team right now, going into the season, the team they have right now, for the first seven games. That is their full lineup when everyone is healthy. Again, going into the season, there was no Sandy. There was no Jiří. We didn't know Jiří was going to have Tommy John. We found that out today when the team announced it. But going into the season, this was their healthy roster. That's their healthy lineup. There's nobody missing from that lineup right now where, okay, they're going to be coming back. No, this is their full, healthy lineup. My question is, do you think all of these guys are going to be healthy for 162 games? There's no way. Not that I want anybody to be hurt or sit out, but it just happens with every single team in Major League Baseball. It happens with every team in every sport. What will the Marlins be when guys are out of that lineup? And if it's not because of health, it's because they'll get dealt. The mess that we just witnessed, that's this Marlins team at full strength. What are they going to be in a month from now? What are they going to be when they start dealing players? And I'm reading, I read this morning, Ken Rosenthal with The Athletic. He's well tied in. He wrote a piece saying not only will the Marlins be sellers at the deadline, they may be sellers soon. It could be Luis Arraez. It could be Josh Bell. It could be Jazz. It could even be Sandy. The Marlins are a freaking mess. Trust me, I want to say other words. And this wasn't really hard to see coming. I don't think anyone had 0-7 on their bingo card. If you asked me 2 weeks ago, what's more likely to happen, the Marlins start 7-0 or 0-7, I'd probably pick 7-0 because they do have some talent. And they had a very soft start to their schedule. But when I say this was not hard to predict, I'm not talking about them starting 0-7. I'm just saying in general for them to have a horrendous season. This isn't a second guess. I'm not second guessing the Marlins offseason. This was a first guess. Last year, they won so many one-run games. And when a team has such a disproportionate amount of one-run wins, generally speaking, the next year, they're going to fall off. It's simple math. It's regression towards the mean. No team is supposed to clean up with one-run games like the Marlins did last year. So that's one part of it. Then the other part is the construction of the roster. The pitching staff was a huge mistake. The minute that Sandy Alcantara was going to have surgery, the Marlins should have gotten help. And now, Jiří Pérez, he's going to miss the entire season. And who knows what part of next year, too. So the Marlins knew they would be out without their one. Now they're without their number two. Jesús Luzardo, to start the season, moved up to number one. That's where he's going to remain until he may get dealt. I forgot that name in the Rosenthal report, or column, or story, whatever you want to call it. Jesús Luzardo is a number one. He really should be a number three. Jesús Luzardo is not an ace. He's a good kid. He's local. He's a good pitcher. Better than I thought he would be. He's just not an ace. Maybe he'll become an ace, but he's not an ace right now. And then AJ Puck is their number two. That's a move. When they announced that, I'm like, what are you doing? Bringing AJ Puck to the Marlins starting rotation had two negative repercussions. First of all, he's not a good starter. He's been bad both starts. Secondly, it messes up the bullpen. So you take AJ Puck out of the mix and you kill two birds and get stoned. Rather than kill two birds with one stone, they killed the birds and got stones thrown at them. And those stones are just baseballs that are being hit all over the place when AJ Puck is out there on the mound. Just a horrendous decision. The problem with the Marlins is their issues are not just with one thing. It would be a lot better if it was just one thing. Like, let's just say the defense was horrible. Okay, guys, you got to clean that up. Let's have extra fielding practice. That's fixable. It's not optimal, but it's fixable. With the Marlins, it's everything. They don't hit for power. They don't use their speed. They don't play defense well. The starters are not getting deep into games. The bullpen is shaky and worn out. F's across the board. That's what the Marlins have. And these losses in April count in the standings. So even if the Marlins get their legs and figure stuff out, they're in an 0-7 hole. They've lost seven home games to teams that are not even that good. I would say, would this come back to bite them down the line? No, it won't, because they're just a bad team. So really, it's not going to matter much in the end. It's not like the Marlins are going to go on some crazy streak. Oh my gosh, if they didn't start the season 0-7, they'd be in the postseason right now. That's not going to happen. We already have the articles being written about them being sellers. Seven games into the season. This is just not fair to Marlins fans. Last year, this team overachieved so much. The Marlins added pieces at the deadline to go for it. Now, less than a year later, they're just going to blow this whole thing up. They have the manager of the year. They have the batting champ. They had Sandy until he underwent Tommy John, Cy Young winner. This organization and this team had so much potential. And now just seven games into a 162-game season, forget about it. I don't care what anybody tells me. This team is already done, and they're going to start selling their players. It's going to be another Marlins garage sale or a yard sale, whatever kind of sale you want to call it. I think we're at the point where one of the higher-ups needs to speak. Bruce Sherman, Peter Bendix. I don't think this can go on Skip. The other day when I was in the clubhouse, Skip was taking blame for decision-making. Skip's not to blame for this. He knows that. If I ask Skip Schumacher on the record, do you think you have enough talent to win right now on this roster? You think he's going to tell me no? I mean, it's a fair question to ask, but what do you think he's going to tell me? Skip Schumacher shouldn't be the one talking about this mess. It should be either Peter Bendix or Bruce Sherman. They should come on out and say, hey, we're disappointed by this start. This isn't how we wanted the season to go, but we're only a week in. Let's chill out a little bit. Let's see how it goes on the road. Just say something. Peter Bendix has not made a good first impression, that's for sure. What deal did he make? He made the Tim Anderson deal, his one big offseason move. And then the day before opening day, he gets rid of John Birdie, the veteran. The dude was like a Swiss Army knife for Skip. He gets prospects that probably won't even play for a couple of years. So his big move was Tim Anderson. Now, sure, Peter Bendix has time to prove himself. Bruce Sherman just hired him. He's supposed to run the baseball show in Miami. But this team right now is worse than the Oakland A's. That is unacceptable. It's embarrassing. It's hashtag bad baseball. And then the one thing I start hearing, and I'm almost done going off on the Marlins, but the one thing I started hearing yesterday, final game of the homestand, they lose big. Well, now that the Marlins are going on the road, maybe a change of scenery is going to help. Maybe this team just needs a change of scenery. So we're 1 week into the season that goes all the way through the end of September. We're 1 week in, and we're talking about a change of scenery, and that change being different from your home ballpark? You just played at home. You want to change the scenery? Please. I mean, it's a freaking joke. That's three times in 25 minutes I use the word freaking. And it's not because I've been talking a lot to Uncle Luke about the Freaknik. Said I want to use another word, but I won't. I freaking came in fourth place in my own poker tournament. I made the final table. I thought I'd really come in first, but I came in fourth. It was good. It was fun. And right now, the Poker Showdown is happening at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. So many great events. A $1 million guaranteed tournament, then a $2 million guarantee, and then a $3 million guarantee. The Poker Showdown, which is part of the World Poker Tour, going on right now in the ballrooms at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. For the entire tournament schedule, and there's a lot of tournaments going on every single day, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You'll see the entire tournament schedule. When I'm back in South Florida, I'm going to be playing in the Poker Showdown, and I hope to see you there. So many great events going on right now in the ballroom for the Poker Showdown at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. A lot of people seem to believe, and yes, I'm getting over the Marlins stuff for now. A lot of people seem to believe that the Miami Dolphins now will win the AFC East because the Buffalo Bills traded Stephon Diggs. Now, the Texans get a great player in Stephon Diggs, but does that mean the AFC East is now the Dolphins that belongs to them? Solely because the Bills traded Stephon Diggs? I saw on social media, because I don't watch these things myself, but I saw some clips and some screenshots of shows on the bottom saying, oh, who's going to win the AFC East after this trade? And they show the Jets there. They still show the Bills. People think it'll be the Dolphins. I would say, like, I can't say yes and I can't say no right now, because I would just be making that up for the sake of saying something. Does it mean the Dolphins could win the division? I think if the Dolphins do what people have expected them to do, it wouldn't have mattered if Stephon Diggs was still on the Bills or not. Here's the thing. I think this is the right move for Buffalo. Diggs apparently hated Josh Allen. We knew there was bad mojo there all of last season. It even extended to social media. The chemistry we saw was off. It started to affect the production. You look at his numbers down the stretch last season, and Stephon Diggs was not himself. This is a case of where a change of scenery may help. The Marlins people saying that, please. For Stephon Diggs, that I can totally believe. But as far as the Bills go, this is a very deep wide receiver draft, from what I understand. So perhaps that's why they make this deal, because they're going to go wide receiver heavy in the draft. We know Josh Allen is really good. So if you think Buffalo is just going to stick with the receivers that they have now, you're going to be completely wrong about that. And will the player or players they get be as good as Stephon Diggs? Probably not, at least not right away. But in terms of attitude and being happy there, this could be addition by subtraction for Buffalo. It's great that the Dolphins' corners will not have to see Stephon Diggs twice a year. I would not, though, say that Buffalo is done and they're not going to win the AFC East and the division is not theirs anymore because of this one move. And didn't we all kind of figure this move was going to be made? We didn't know that Diggs would go to Houston, but we saw what was happening. I just think if you're a Dolphins fan that automatically believes your team leapfrogs the Bills now after this trade, I would say wait. Let's see what they do. It's April 4th. It's certainly possible that this could be good for Miami. But do we really know that right now? What if the Bills draft a stud wide receiver? Or they make a move for a veteran who turns out to be a better fit? I feel like it's safe to say Buffalo is not done with their wide receiver room. So to judge who's going to win the AFC East now, is this the Dolphins division now? It's extremely premature. Because the season doesn't start tomorrow. This is definitely not going to be the Bills roster as it stands right now. They're going to add. You think they're just going to have Josh Allen throw passes to whoever else is on that roster? And they're not going to do something to replace Stephon Diggs? If you really believe that, well, I have many, many things that I would love to sell you. The NFL draft, it's this month. And we should all know by now, I am fully aware that we get so many deals before the draft and even during the draft. And think about all the NFL activity that we've had over the past 4 or 5 years. The NFL never had a lot of player trades. And not only have we seen so many player trades, we have seen big names. We have seen trades at the most important position, which would be quarterback. These are things that we never used to see before. We never saw them at the trade deadline. Now we do. We never even see them a lot in the offseason. But now we do. Things have changed, and for anybody to give a real answer, it's not even possible to give a real answer on whose division is it now, the AFC East, because Stephon Diggs went to Houston, I think is a little ridiculous. It's also ridiculous if you're buying a home, need a mortgage, or refinancing, and you don't call Stewie. Stewie has got the bagel loan. You're like, what's the bagel loan? When you look at a bagel, you see a zero in the middle of it. That is exactly what you will pay Stewie. Zero. Nothing. The bagel loan means you've got no lender fees and you've got no appraisal fees. Stewie has the bagel loan for you. So if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, if you're refinancing, you want the bagel loan because you pay Stewie nothing. Now, how do you get this bagel loan? How do you get a hold of Stewie? You call Stewie on his personal cell phone. And guess who's got his personal cell phone number? I do. And you're about to have it as well. Ready? 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, if you're refinancing, you want to call Stewie. He's got the bagel loan. You pay him zero. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. MLS number 226715. The window is open right now. I'm not talking about here in the studio. I'm talking about the window for the Miami Heat. 7 games to go right now is the perfect time for the Miami Heat to get hot. They woke up today in 6th place in the Eastern Conference. 6th in the East means no play-in game. It also means no Boston in the second round. So if you finish 6th, you get a week off after the season is over. You avoid the play-in game. You avoid the Celtics in the second round, assuming you get to the second round. And assuming the Celtics get to the second round, too. That's where the Miami Heat are right now. That's a great position to be in. The game of the regular season, it'll be on Sunday. That's when Miami's at Indiana. That's the team they're fighting with for that sixth spot. If the Heat can win on Sunday, that would be a monster step. But we're not at Sunday yet. We still got a game to talk about for this evening. The Miami Heat, they've got the Philadelphia 76ers. They're currently eighth. They're a team that the Heat would face in the play-in if they finished seventh. And the Sixers are a completely different team right now. Joel Embiid is back, one of the most exciting and best players in the NBA. A lot of fun to watch. You don't want him to beat you, but he's back. Tonight's game, it should be fantastic. And that's because it matters. Not only for the Heat, it matters a lot for Philadelphia. And just like the Heat's win over the Knicks, it had a playoff atmosphere. This one tonight, it should feel the same. I hope a lot of you gave the Miami Heat some time after the trade deadline when they acquired Scary Terry. I remember doing many shows after that acquisition saying, you got to give him time. He's basically running everything on the court, and he's brand new to the roster. You've got to give him time. And take a look at what he's done lately. Look at how he's been shooting as of late. Terry Rozier is such an upgrade over Kyle Lowry. The team is completely different. His footwork, some of the step backs and jab steps and fades. I don't want to say too many creative words or basketball words because then it'll sound like I'm some basketball genius and I'm not. But the speed that Scary Terry plays, this dude's the real deal. And with the Heat not having Tyler Hero's scoring punch, Scary Terry has been such a welcome addition to this roster. And you can tell he is getting more and more comfortable. He's getting better. He's getting more effective. The unsung guy on this Heat team right now, and he hit the biggest shot in that game against the Knicks, tied at 92. The Knicks had made a huge run. Haywood Highsmith. He hit such a big three. And Haywood plays spectacular defense. He's such a useful player. Haywood Highsmith is the latest Heat developmental project. And the way he's been playing lately, you could tell he's in Spo's trust tree. And he will be part of the Miami Heat's playoff rotation. You look at the Eastern Conference standings. I think overall right now in the East, the conference is a mess. Boston is a juggernaut. And the Heat's goal should be only see them in the conference finals. The rest of the East, it's a mess. The Celtics are, my gosh, they're so good. So you've got the Celtics who are amazing. Then you got Milwaukee. They're 500 since Doc Rivers took over. The Knicks, we just saw, they're not the same. The Magic, I don't think the Heat fear. They're too young and they're too green. And when you go up against Spo and you're in that position, you're not going to do well. And Cleveland, they've been slumping for a while. So everything that's happened so far this Heat season, all the back and forth conversations, the nervousness that some fans have had, and maybe even the organization has had, take a look at where they are now. They've won three in a row. They do have some cupcakes later in the schedule. They got to take care of this week. You beat the Sixers and then you win in Indiana. The Rockets game is kind of a toss-up. They're young, but they did just win 11 in a row. So that game is dangerous. But if the Heat can play well this week, with everything going on in the East, they can set themselves up really nicely come playoff time and potentially go on another long run. It's all there for them. After all that coasting that they've done this year, if they can have a good week and they could finish in that sixth spot, everything that happened to date, it may not matter. It may all work out for the best. And I don't say that to make anyone think that was kind of the plan, like that's Spo's plan all along. We know how Jimmy is. We know there's games Jimmy is just not going to play. Some of them the Heat are probably okay with. Some of them they're probably not okay with. Like the one after he went to the Miami Open and then went to the Miami Open the following day too, and he called out sick for the game against Golden State. The Heat want to pace themselves. And in the end, right now, where they are, if they could stay right there, I think they have put themselves in such a good spot come playoff time. I know you will put yourself in a great spot if you go to the Trackside Restaurant at Gulfstream Park. The Royal Palm Meet. It started today. The horses are running right now, and there's live racing at Gulfstream Park during the Royal Palm Meet every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You got 4 days in a week to head on out to Gulfstream Park and enjoy the live, exciting racing action. When I go to Gulfstream, and I was just there this past Saturday yet again, they had the Florida Derby, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. You get yourself a table. You have a fantastic meal. The food at Gulfstream is really good. You watch the races live right in front of you. And, of course, you could wager on them. You don't even have to wager a whole lot. They have wagers that cost 10 or 20 cents, and you could win thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. Head on out to Gulfstream Park in Hollandale Beach during this Royal Palm Meet. It just started today. Live racing Thursday through Sunday. It's exciting. It's a lot of fun, and you will have yourself a great meal as well. It's the Royal Palm Meet, and it's happening right now, literally right now, at Gulfstream Park. Real quickly, I want to mention that I reached out yesterday to Burger King. The Marlins, as I told all of you more than a week ago, or about a week ago, the Marlins have a promotion where in Miami-Dade and Broward, if you go to a Burger King the day after a Marlins home win, you get a free Whopper Jr. You don't have to buy anything. You get a free Whopper Jr. The Marlins, as we very well know, started the season with 7 games at home. That means 7 opportunities for a free Whopper Jr., and they did not win a game. So I reached out to BK. I asked if they plan to do anything for fans. Are they going to make any change to the offer? And they said they have no current plans to change the offer. They said, quote, "We have faith the Marlins will start a winning streak any day now, resulting in free Whopper sandwiches for all." End quote. Good luck. That's all the time I got for this Thursday afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.